bien cristiano. Hearing the thoughts by the different zones has been a revelation to me. Yesterday's talks, the talks of the devotees who narrated parts of the film last night, and again today. Somehow I thought, and there are like so many themes, but somehow today I thought to speak on the theme of that many devotees have commented that they weren't in the inner circle, and some of them felt they had to be like greedy to get Prabhupada's association. I was always sort of shy and introverted, and I would always tend toward the back. And I was quite happy to be in the back. And Prabhupada actually, out of his mercy, drew me forward. The first time was when we were staying at Kailash Satsarya's house on Marie Drive in Bombay. Prabhupada had just, well, we had just arrived in India. And I would always dance in kirtan. I mean, I like to dance. But I'd also heard that even if you don't feel like dancing, but if you force yourself to dance, then you'll feel like dancing. So even if I didn't feel like it, I would just do it, and then I would feel like it. And one evening, one of Prabhupada's servants or secretaries said to Prabhupada, "Has one wants to see you?" "Me?" "He never asked to see me." So I went into his room and was asking about Boston, because we all just come from, I had just come from Boston. And, how's the temple, how's this, how's that? And he asked about Brahmananda, who had become involved with some misconceptions. One of the four sannyasis who become involved with misconceptions. And Prabhupada just said, he was so advanced, I can't understand how that happened. The next time Prabhupada sort of acknowledged me, I was reading, whenever I had a free moment, I would read. And at that time, we really only had two books. The Bhagavad Gita, as it is, abridged. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, those are the first two books. And I read the Bhagavad Gita as it is, so I had the teachings of Lord Chaitanya with me. And I would just take it with me everywhere. And when ever there was a free moment, I would just read. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't, even the dancing, I didn't think much of it. But later I thought, why would Prabhupada ask to see me? It must have been that he noticed me trying to dance. So Prabhupada arrived at the train station in Amritsar. We were invited to the Vedanta Sammelan. And that could be a whole chapter in and of itself. And this isolating this particular theme. And but before we went to the Vedanta Ashram, we were received, you know, by a friend of Prabhupada from Bombay, and Hari Krishna Das Agarwal. And I couldn't believe his name was Hari Krishna Das. I mean, I thought I was in, I really thought I'd be in the spiritual world, but his name is Hari Krishna Das. And so Hari Krishna Das Agarwal was asking him these questions. I think he had a home there, a relative, and we stopped there before we went to the Mayavadi Ashram. And this point about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was sort of thinking that Krishna's different and Rama's different and they're all different, and Prabhupada was saying that they're all the same. He said it's just like the sun. When the sun is, it's the same sun, but it may appear to be the noonday sun or the 2 o'clock sun or the 4 o'clock sun. Like that. I don't know exactly the context, but he said something about me that he's trying very hard to understand this philosophy. And I knew he had noticed that I was using every moment to study these books. So I was very dutiful and submissive, and in Madras we arranged a program that Prabhupada was pleased. And from Madras, Prabhupada, well, he stopped at Vishakhapatnam and met his good friend Puri Maharaj, who is what he loved because he came out with great funds and respect, and went to Mayapur. And so I stayed back in Madras to wind up, you know, collect some checks, and I went to Mayapur. The Prabhupada was sitting in the grass hut when I arrived. I went in to see him, and someone escorted me. He was in a very deep mood, very grave mood. Like on the verge of tears. I mean, maybe there were tears in his eyes and shit or words. And he was just saying that, you know, it's all the mercy of Krishna. Just saying the mercy of Krishna upon him in his efforts to serve his Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the mercy of Krishna, that the movement was spreading. People were getting the mercy of Krishna. So then, you know, he turned to me and I wound up in Paris in Madras. And then he said, during the British rule, they had three provinces: Bombay, Calcutta, and Madras. So which do you want? So I didn't want any of them. But I didn't say that. I said, Shiva Prabhupada, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, just tell me what you want me to do and I will gladly do it. And he said, no, I want you to decide. And I never made such an important decision like that before. I was just did what the authorities told me. And I said, no, Shiva Prabhupada, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. And he said, no, I want you to decide. So then I understood. I thought, what is happening? What is happening? And I thought, actually, she would probably want some meaning. The way I understood it, well, to get the answer, I would have to surrender to Krishna more. So I took it, Srila Prabhupada wants to bring me to a deeper level of surrender to Krishna. So Krishna would give me the answer, and the intelligence to know what to do. So from Mayapur, we went to Calcutta, and I would chant in front of the deities, Radha Govinda, and wait for some answer. But no answer was coming. I was really chanting sincerely, I was looking at the deities and praying. I wasn't getting any answer. And time was running out. Prabhupada was going to be leaving. I thought I should have an answer. So then I devised a plan. My devious little mind devised a plan that I would go into Prabhupada's room and say some things about the different choices to get him to give some indication of what he wanted. I went in, my visa assistant said, Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking about what you said, and I was thinking Bombay would be a good place to go, and I gave some reasons, and he said, yes, you can go to Bombay. And then I said, but then again, I was thinking, maybe I should just stay in Calcutta. And I gave the reasons in favor of Calcutta. And in exactly the same tone of voice, he said, yes, you can stay in Calcutta. And then I started feeling, this isn't working. This isn't working, but I was so invested in the idea that I felt I had to play it out. So I said, but then again, I was thinking I could go back to Madras, and I gave reasons in favor of Madras. And in the exact same tone of voice, he said the exact same words. Yes, you can go to Madras. So I was mortified because he had seen through my trick. But actually, I was elated that my spiritual master couldn't be tricked by foolish disciple. But still, the question remained. The Prabhupada left, chanting, praying, no answer. No answer. And suddenly one day, it wasn't even in the temple. I don't know if I was out preaching or if we were coming on the same kitchen. I was outside, and I just suddenly got an insight that I should go to Bombay. It was a revelation. It was an act of grace. And the reasoning was that the most important program in India was like membership. At one stage, Prabhupada said, if you just get me 3 life members a day, I'll do everything else. So that was the most important program. Bombay was the head office. And you weren't taking such good care of the members, so you thought if you take good care of the members, then the ones who are members, they themselves will make more members. And if you don't take care of them, they'll feel cheated, and they'll speak ill of us, and then even if we go in person and make some of the members, he won't want to become a member. Roshi of Prabhupada, and he sent a telegram. Yes, come Bombay immediately. So I went to Bombay, and I had my conception of my service, which I thought was going to give to me. But in Bombay, and Brahmananda was in charge. In Bombay, Prabhupada got letters from Nairobi saying that there was difficulty there. And Prabhupada wanted to send Brahmananda back. And Madhavisa Prabhu, who was the temple president, he needed a change. He wanted a change, and Prabhupada was sending him to Australia. So then the question was, it wasn't a question for me, the question was who was going to take charge of the Jumu project. And well, Gargamel Mori, might have thought he was a good candidate, and I think some of the others might have thought so. I also thought so. So Prabhupada called us all in his room. He was staying in one of the tenants' buildings. Acharya called us in his room and said, so who will take charge? And everyone was silent. Prabhupada looked around the room. So Giriraj, you will take charge. So I really grimaced. And Prabhupada said, yes. Yes, Giriraj will take charge. And I was like, yeah, like quite often we say things and then we're tested on them. And I accept you, Prabhupada, whatever you ask me to do. Of course, I did do it, but I said I'd be happy to do it. But I wasn't happy. And he must have, it's like many devotees have commented about Prabhupada with reading minds. I knew he was reading my mind, but he didn't pacify me. He must have seen me cringing. He said, so now, the whole responsibility is on you. And I was, and it was very hard. I mean, I can tell you, it was very hard. Once, over time, okay. Well, that's what I basically said.
That was beautiful.
I'll just add one little bit.
Okay.
Now, during these 2 days, I was thinking, hearing the talks and reflecting. Now Prabhupada's not here, so if I tend to shrink to the back, who's going to bring me forward? And I think the answer in the Guru Mahārāja, he sort of said it, we have each other, and you just really don't know how much effect, you know, a phone call can have on, I'm talking about myself, he was maybe 4 days ago. I was walking by the seaside, and I usually I don't like to be interrupted in my job. I don't like to be interrupted when I'm walking. And I don't like to take calls on my cell phone, especially when it's peak news. And I got a phone call from a resident Swami who was in transit at the Delhi airport. And he knew I must be on my walk because he tried the landline first. And I thought, no, this is more important than anything. So I just set aside all the other considerations and I took the phone call. And I felt so enlightened afterwards. I took it as a manifestation of Prabhupada's mercy and care. And then the next morning, 7 o'clock, I was just about to begin my diary. I'd actually wrapped the thread around my thumb, and the phone rang. And the same thing, I don't like to take phone calls too early. And I don't like to be interrupted when I'm doing my dietary. But anyway, I'll take a look. And I took a chance, I answered it. It's a private caller. And I took a chance. And it was in your duty, Swami. Well, this is more important. And it was the same thing. And after those phone calls, I felt so enlivened and blessed, and I thought of some people I was meant to phone, and I phoned them. And it sort of illustrates the principle that Narayana Swami mentions quite often, that to give shelter, you have to have shelter. And of course, the ultimate shelter is Krishna, and Krishna's representative, Sri Prabhupada. But even then, we need help in feeling Prabhupada's shelter, and that comes from each other, from all of you. So, keep me under your shelter, and I will bring you Sri Prabhupada's shelter. Hare Krishna.